Welcome to another episode of the Meathead on the Mic podcast. This is the number one podcast for anyone on this planet, country, or nation who wants to get in the best physical shape for their next vacation. I'll be giving you actionable value to help you with mindset, training, and nutrition to help you transform your life. Disclaimer, I'm going to tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. Not because I want to be mean, but because I genuinely respect you. Also, I'm a meathead. So if you tune in and decide to give me the time out of your life that you know you'll never get back, the very least I can do for you is keep it a stack. Expect to be educated, motivated, and inspired. And get ready to laugh over some lighthearted banter. Now that that's out the way, let's chat with IFBB Pro Matt Butale. Get ready, meatheads. Time to dive in.
We are going to get this shit started in about a minute here. I want to wait. Before we introduce who you are, I want to make sure we bring a couple people in so they know who the hell we're talking to. But bro, before we introduce ourselves, give a quick rundown of like what we're actually talking about today, because it's a big topic for sure, man.
Huge topic. You said it, man. First things first, Tyler and Apex community, thanks for having me here. I am super grateful that I get to speak and share some of my life experience in this episode today. And again, as I just said, it's about life experience. Your life experience, my life experience, Tyler's life experience, and the negativity that we had to, the adversity I'll even say, that we had to overcome in order to become who we are right in front of you. And like, let's not get it twisted. You might look at Instagram, the followers, the high quality pictures, whatever you see, the physique, and think that these people, us, you know, Tyler and I, have a pretty much easy scot-free life. But to your surprise, if you do pay attention and you give us your undivided attention, tune into this entire episode, you'll find out that that's further from the truth than you could even know. You know, I'm going to be talking a little bit about my background and how, you know, a lot of it was screwed up, and Tyler will be as well. And believe me, this is not going to be one of those vanilla episodes where people talk about how they fell and sprained their ankle and then they're healed. No, this is going to be the nitty gritty. You, if you don't relate to this, you'll be able to look at this and say, shit, if they can do it, I can do it too. And that's honestly what I want out of this episode. And I'm sure Tyler wants that and a little bit more out of you guys. But we are going to be breaking it down, talking about the ugly, the good, the bad, all of it. So stick around if you're human.
I love it. I love it, man. And with that being said, let's hop into this, guys. Let's not keep you waiting any longer. This is the episode of the Intentional Existence Podcast. And again, guys, we have the guest speaker for today is the IFBB Pro, Matt Butale. First of all, the natty IFBB Pro, because I think it's one thing to say your IFBB is like that's a big fucking flex, but to say you're the natty fucking IFBB, that's a whole other level, man. Give us a quick introduction of like who the fuck you are before we can get into this, so that people know your credibility and like who we're actually talking to here.
Thank you. All right, brother. So let's break it down. I am a 25-year-old Canadian kid, born and raised in Ontario. I've been competing in bodybuilding, natural bodybuilding specifically, since 2017. And in 2021 November, if you're watching this on the live stream, you can see I earned that pro card naturally. That's a little bit about my credibility. I also am a coach like Tyler, and that's how we sort of came together through a mentorship community. That's how I learned of his existence, his impact in his community. He's definitely inspired me to do several things that I'm doing right now, like sharing this vulnerable topic with you. And I believe the other day or last week, I made a post regarding something that we will be talking about in this episode that was very vulnerable, very raw, and very ugly. And I was only inspired to do that because of Tyler. So again, as far as my credibility goes, I'm only as credible as my physique and the results that I provide, which if you really do want to see it, it's on my page. But again, we're talking to a master coach here as well. So let's keep our attention here and stay intentional and look at the negativity and how that can actually be used as fuel so that we can get a positive outcome in our life. That's a little bit about who I am, but you'll be learning more throughout this episode.
Yeah, dude, I absolutely love it, and it's so funny. Like, so the post that Matt's actually talking about, I was just, guys, for one, I've made a really big intention of myself to not be scrolling on Instagram at all anymore. So, any of my homies, any of my like coaches, any of my friends that are watching, if I'm not liking your shit anymore, there's like, I'm not hating on you. I'm trying to stay the fuck off of it, okay? But for whatever reason, when I opened up Instagram the other day, I saw one of Matt's posts, and it fucking hit me, okay? This is one of like a deep emotional kind of vulnerable post, and he was, you know, explaining a little bit of his past of like something that really got him to like create change and create a reason to be like, look, I we talk about this all the time, right? If you're anyone of our clients, you'll understand that we always talk about the pivotal moment, right? And if you see my post that I just actually posted, 30 minutes ago, it's the same kind of thing, and it's what inspired this post, right? We all have this pivotal moment in our lives where, you know, where we know that what we're doing isn't what we should be, right? We know that we should be making changes. We know what it is to make the change. You know, all these like little motivational fucking videos that you see on Instagram, like, oh, you need to day one or one day, blah, blah, blah. Man, listen, you guys watch that shit and it is what it is, but that's not going to create the change. What really creates the change, unfortunately, 9 times out of 10 is some deep trauma, right? And so I read Matt's post the other day and I was like, holy fuck. Man, I've known this guy for a few years. We've been like doing different mentorships and everything together. I know we had a little bit of a fucking story about him, but I didn't realize it's that level. And when I started reading about how, you know, the impact that, you know, certain things of, you know, living the wrong kind of lifestyle have, like, you know, impacted him as well as like the people that he loves, it really was an eye opener to me. And like, you know, I had to go and comment, and I went to message him right after. And it's funny enough, as I went to go message him to be like, dude, that was a fucking super powerful post. Holy shit. I saw in the messages, he was like, hey bro, you know, just check out my post. You know, inspired me to write this. And I was like, dude, it was like the universe fucking talking between us. And like a lot of time that's what happens totally. Here. Right. So, dude, without, you know, going like, too deep into it, like, what do you think, like, was the you know, let's talk about that post quickly. Like, what do you think was that pivotal moment for you? Because we all have one, right? Whether you're going through like a weight loss journey, whether you're going through a career shift, a relationship change, like, what was it for you that really created this, like, being like, dude, like, I can't keep doing what the fuck I'm doing here?
Dude, wonderfully said. I would say that there isn't one thing, but I'll say that all things were related to trauma. All right, so the first thing, let's you know, take the cat out the bag. That post that you saw, I was, just to give you guys a little bit of a background, growing up at around 14 years old, my parents divorced, and it created somewhat of a broken household. My father is a truck driver. You know, he worked relentlessly, like 16, 14 hours, 7 days a week. And without my mother at home, it created like an open window of space. So what do you think an irresponsible, angry kid, I mean, like, I was an angry teenager, angry at the world, angry at the fact that I couldn't have a family, envious of my neighbors for having one. What do you think I did? I spent all my time drinking and smoking, probably like you, especially if you were the product of a broken home. And like, so around that time period, I started surrounding myself with people that I guess you'd call loose screws in high school. The odd thing was I would spend time with them, but I would also be really good at school. So the teachers would be very confused as to why I decided to do that, because they didn't know who I was inside. I always wore a mask, similar to like how most of us, you know, walk around day to day. We were in a mask. We hide and suppress our negativity. And so what happened was I ended up becoming so engulfed in these negative habits over the years. I became the kid that would throw the house parties when my dad would go on vacation, fucking trash the house. You know, I would be the, as I grew up, I mean, and I'm just going to be completely vulnerable here. And I think it's a, not necessarily a good thing, but I was very hypersexual at a young age, and it skewed my mind to chase things that, again, never really gave me fulfillment. I mean, what I thought was fulfillment was a fucking orgasm, but it wasn't. Yeah. You know, I was just drained. I had no ambition, couldn't focus, dropped out of high school due to fights. And I couldn't focus. I couldn't sit down at a desk and do work because I just had no ambition, probably like you guys listening to this. And the main things were having so much time, freedom, of course, being a young, dumb kid, but also not prioritizing things that are important. And the first real chunk of trauma that made me look at myself in the mirror and start to mature as an adolescent, you know, growing into a young man, was the time that my father got stabbed. And I don't talk about the first time I talked about this ever since I've become a coach, since I've become somewhat of a social figure, was that post, because I was so embarrassed and more or less afraid to bring it up, because, you know, the people were arrested and they're also released, and I just didn't want to bring attention back to it. But I realized it's more important that I show you guys I bleed red, you know, and I breathe air, than me suppressing it, you know, because of potentially feeling embarrassed. And also, just like Tyler, I don't like to be the cookie cutter, you know, one day you will, like, fuck all that shit. Because I look at that and I laugh, because that doesn't help anybody. As much as they think that they're helping people, I mean, God bless them, they're doing it from the goodness of their heart, but nobody can relate to somebody having a perfect life. And if anything, I wanted to show that a lot, because you look at me, it's like, well, I was 23 when I got my IFBB Pro card naturally. I started a successful online coaching business. I'm doing so many things that when you look from the outside in at that age, it's like, holy shit, like this guy must have had rich parents, or this guy, so and so. Insert any excuse, it would have been valid on the outside looking in. But to relate to you guys, I'm like, look, as good as it seems, trust me, you don't know the half. There are things that made me who I am and forced me to be that at an early age because I started fucking up at an early age. And so just to give you guys a little bit of background of the story, I was the kid that would party a lot. Everybody in the city knew me, and I was at a party. I ended up, I think I started a fight over weed or something, and I was there with a bunch of my boys. Like at the time I was a wrestler, I was a freestyle wrestler. I was ranked second in Canada at that time. I felt like I was hot shit, right? And I was there with my brothers, my friends. They were all athletes, we're all jacked. So I got into this fight, and of course they backed me up, and then now we're in a brawl, and we absolutely, I don't even want to give attention to that, but people got fucked up. And the next day, I was at my friend's basement. We were just honestly staying there doing drugs, and I got a phone call from a neighbor saying, "There's, he's been stabbed. Your dad's been stabbed." I said, "What the?" I couldn't even take it in. I was like, first of all, this is a prank because how? And then I thought about it. I'm like, wait a minute. And I sobered up for like a second. I'm like, oh, we were in a fight last night. And those kids know those kids who know those kids who have big brothers who went to jail. And then I'm like, oh my God. So then I rushed back. By the time I came back here, my father's actually being airlifted to another hospital. I just remember seeing, and I kid you not, it was one of the most grotesque things in my life. When I think about it, I can almost smell it. So much fucking blood up the front porch of my house, going into the door where the glass was smashed, blood all over, just blood. Think of the worst, think of a nightmare, and that's what happened. I could just smell the blood. Glass shattered everywhere, and I'm running into the house trying to look for my dad, knowing he's not there. And the cops, the fire truck or EMS people, they come up to me. They're like, "Who are you?" They grab me. "Who are you? Like, why are you running to the crime scene?" I'm like, and they're like, "Oh, he's the son." And my brother was also there, my twin brother. And that's when it really hit me. I'm like, my actions like have repercussions. Because at the time I was about 17, 16. I would have been considered a young offender if anything, and I knew that, which is why I would do stupid shit, right? And so it looked like, I looked at myself, I'm like, fuck me, like forget about what I could be facing in terms of jail. Like other innocent people in my life are gonna get the shit end of the stick because of how I behave. Like this innocent man who worked his fucking ass off every day to put food on the table for me, and I'm just like being this waste of a life. Oh, I couldn't, I felt so disgusted in myself. I was scared to death because I didn't know the status of my dad. He was being airlifted. He's a single father, and like he's the guy that he's the only real parent that I, really had.
Of course.
And we've been through everything together, and just to see that, it really made me feel like, oh man, I deserve to die. I really do. And at a young age, I was 17, I think, at the time, I decided, you know what? Fuck all this shit. I'm done hanging out with these folks. I'm gonna go get a security job. So on my 18th birthday, literally on my 18th birthday, because you got to be 18 to be a security guard, I was taking my CPR to get the finals of it done, and was employed the next week, doing everything the clean way, no longer dealing or doing drugs, and everything was on the rise up. And so this is why I said, guys, it wasn't the only thing that changed my life, because as traumatic as that was, I didn't, it didn't really, digest. It took a couple of years, and the change doesn't happen overnight. Like it's okay, I got the job, I'm, busy now, I'm away from these folks, and now let me try to like adapt to something else, because you can't just be in this empty void, otherwise it becomes very tempting to fall back. And so I started to date and again detach the negative mental stigma that I had about women, and as time progressed, I got real close to some chick, high school. And then I think I was about 19 years old, I experienced my first real heartbreak. And about 3 months after that, I stepped on stage for the first time. But we're going to be getting into that in a little bit, because I want to ask Tyler, I want to flip the question. What is your bottom? What was your ground zero? And how did that flip the switch for you?
First of all, I love how it's I swear to God, everybody who has a nice physique, the first thing I ask is like, who are you? Because there's always some deep heartbreak involved with that.
Oh,
Like
yeah.
nobody looks as nobody gets the IFBB status unless they got a heartbreak in their fucking background. Okay, it's just like absolute bare minimum. That's like part of the requirements.
Breakups
Okay,
make bodybuilders. Yep.
It is, man. First of all, before I get into mine, I just want to like take a second and say thank you, because that's a very vulnerable fucking deep story. And like, dude, I know how fucking tough it is. Like, you know, talking about our like past and everything is one thing when it's affecting us, but the, I know how much, like, I can even, like, you know, seeing you, the amount of, like, you know, like guilt, shame, feeling all these like negative, low vibrational feelings that you've really had to like really step into your power to overcome. That in itself is what makes you such a good coach, right? And like, we're going to talk about that in a little bit of a second here, guys. But that's the thing is, like, when we hear about somebody's past, we hear about somebody's story, a lot of times, you know, you have two different types of people. You get the person that's like, holy shit, like, I'm scared of this person for being able to have that kind of, you know, being able to do those sort of things. Mm-hmm. And then we have the other side, the more, you know, conscious, like, you know, the kind of emotional intelligence side that's like, holy shit. For you to, you know, and I'm going to butcher this. I'm not even going to say the quote, but Jordan Peterson says it. He says, you know, what is it? You have to be a, you have to be able to be a warrior or a soldier, a warrior in the garden, but then a gardener at war sort of thing, right? Mm. To be able to, in order to be able to experience this level of peace and be able to guide people through this level of peace, it is only possible to reach this level of peace through an extreme amount of violence, right? Because, you know, there's good and bad, and you cannot experience one without the other, right? If you've only experienced such an incredible life, well, then you don't even know what incredible is to you, essentially, right? So
totally, you got to be capable, right, of violence, totally, yeah, and but exactly, have it under control, yeah. And that's what I believe makes a man. I'm sure you'd agree, yeah.
100%, 100%. That's what I, you know, I teach my son all the time, right? He's an MMA, he does boxing, all this kind of stuff. And it's the big thing is that, like, you need to know exactly how to be able to commit violence, but have the control that you never do unless it's like, you know, where you're protecting, like, et cetera, whatever, right? But no, 100%, man, that's a really big thing with, I feel like a lot of, at least the coaches that kind of go on a deeper level with their clients all experience that kind of thing, right?
Totally.
You know, it's, I actually made a post today, is a very similar kind of thing where, you know, I've had the same thing. Like, I've had different moments in my life where there's been pivotal moments. There's been times where I've been like, okay, like, I can't do this anymore. And like, you know, the unfortunate thing, and like, I hope everybody can kind of understand here as well, is when we start to have that self-awareness, we can recognize that although the situations may be different, right? Although maybe, like, you know, Matt's situation, his story is maybe different than mine, I can still relate on the same emotions that he was experiencing. You know, he still went through the same kind of things, and he went through the same kind of healing process, or probably similar as to I. And that's why, you know, people always ask, like, how are you able to connect with your clients? You know, it's like, we'll be completely different, like, so different than the client that we're talking to. Maybe they had, like, you know, what one would say a more, like, you know, less violent, kind of easier life to some kind of perspective. But then in the other sense, it's like, trauma is trauma, guys. Like, emotion is emotion, and we can't really dictate how we, what level that we kind of place certain something as, right? With all that being said, though, I want to talk a little bit about my post today as well, because that was one of the pivotal moments for me. Basically, you know, for those of you who have heard a little bit of my story, you know, I wasn't always the little sweetheart of a buff coach you see today. I mean, you know, obviously, like, I had a similar kind of thing growing up. I, you know, my parents got divorced when I was young. You know, I was always in and out of group homes and, like, getting kicked out of my house. And it just, you know, when I was living at my parents' house, I was the, you know, I had another sibling, and that was the kind of, like, golden child. So, I would always be kind of, like, locked in my room or stuff, you know, preparing me for jail sort of thing, you know, getting locked up early
more
on.
Or less.
You know, suppressing emotions, stuff like that early on. And, basically, it kind of, like, you know, got into it, especially during high school and stuff. Well, I recognized that, hey, you know, you start to get acceptance and validation, and you look at the six basic human needs, and now your level of significance is increasing, because you're somebody where you never have, and you have a connection where you haven't before, now that you're, you know, maybe hanging out with the wrong crowd and, like, doing that sort of thing, right? And it's the validation that we all seek in some level, right? Basically, what happened with me is I started going, you know, deeper and deeper into that life, and, you know, you start selling a little bit of weed as a kid in high school, and then, oh, now you sell a little bit of coke, and then before you know it, you're a full-blown, you know, trying to join the cartel type
El Chapo.
Of shit, and, you know, emulating that kind of thing, right? And, you know, unfortunately, I got arrested quite a few times, to be honest, but it never really fazed me. And, like, even, you know, I had my son when I was really young. I was about 20 years old when he was born. And I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. I had no money. I couldn't support myself, let alone support other childs. And I realized at the time, you know, my kind of masculine instincts kicked in and was like, look, I need to grow up and fucking protect. I need to like provide for my child here. If I'm not able to do it for myself, then grow up and do it for him. Unfortunately, I didn't have the you know, the education, I didn't have the experience, and the only people I was around that I saw that were successful were, you know, involved with criminal activity and stuff. So the only way that I saw that you could make enough money to be, you know, to provide the life for my son that I didn't, wasn't able to get as a child, I went through that kind of route and I went through that kind of lifestyle. And, you know, you go into jail a little bit, you end up getting bail, got a really good lawyer, you know, I always find a way to get out. My friends always got some more money for me on the way out. It was okay. Right. And you get to the point where you're like, I'm so sick of doing this. You know that like you're going to die or end up in jail your whole life, but you don't know any other route. You know, you're not going to know where hires you. You try to get out of jail and you have like, you know, you try for a couple of weeks to find jobs. Nobody hires you based on your experience. And then what happens when you need to pay rent and you can't, you know, afford food anymore? Well, you have to do what you have to do, right? Basically, I ended up getting locked up. Eventually, you know, it couldn't. My lawyer could only do so much, and eventually I could, you know, I was on three different separate cases and I couldn't get bail anymore. And ended up, you know, taking some heat for some different things. And during my time that I was in there, my son was, you know, he was just a baby, right? He was only like a year or two old. So at the time it was like obviously I felt upset and it sucked that I wasn't able to grow. But in my mind, I tried to convince myself at the time that it's going to be okay. He's not going to remember this, right? Now, this is how I think a lot of, you know, like our clients work through as well, right? Especially when they're, you know, they have kids. They think that, oh, well, the first couple of years, I need to really prioritize my child. Don't worry about myself, right? Maybe I'm not going to be able to, you know, maybe I'm not taking care of myself as much. I'm lacking sleep, lacking food, whatever it is. Maybe I'm eating too much takeout, I'm not exercising. But my kid's too young to pay attention. They're not going to know until they're older, right? Mm-hmm. But what happens is we start this vicious cycle and we convince ourselves this, but at what age do they start to recognize? At what point do we stop? We don't really, until fortunately you have the pitiful moment like I did, right? Where, you know, I was in the pen and I used to call my son every day and I'd talk to him and just see how he's doing and stuff. But I mean, as a kid, they're saying a couple words. They don't know what the fuck is going on, whatever, right? When I actually called him one day and just, you know, oh, I miss you so much. I love you, blah, blah, blah. And he said, Daddy, he didn't say, where are you? He said, where are you? Because he's a little baby at the time. He said, Daddy, where are you? And I was like, oh, I'm just working right now. Like, what do you know? He's like, Daddy, where are you? He asked me again. And there's just like a fucking silence on the phone. And I probably waited 15 seconds before I said anything. And is it at that moment that I knew, like, what the fuck am I doing? You know? And it's very similar to Matt's story. It's like, when we're caught up in this shit, you know, whether you're caught up in, like, criminal shit, whether you're caught up in doing drugs for vices or drinking too much, or you're using food as an emotional crutch and you're stopping at the fast food before you show up, you know, like on your way home from work every day. It's these little crutches that we use, these little different vices that we have, and we don't think they're affecting anybody else. We think that we can kind of go through life and just, you know, it's only affecting me. I'm an adult. I can take my own shit, whatever. I'll accept the consequences from this. But when it starts to impact those that we love the most, when we have that wake-up call, that's when it's time to fucking change. You know, unless you're an absolute piece of shit narcissist, and that's a whole other fucking conversation. We don't want to talk to you if you're on the fucking. That's a whole other conversation.
Yeah,
all right?
No, you need mental help if that's you. But right. Yeah, so Tyler, man, again, just to flip it back at you, that was a brick to drop, and I appreciate you for sharing that with me and the rest of us here, because I'm sure you probably, if you really close your eyes and you let it get quiet, you can probably hear that same voice again of when he was two and he asked you. And like that, because the same thing happens to me when I can like think of the stabbing, I can smell the blood. So it's some sensory, but I know it's definitely hot water, but yo, you swam in that for us. So I appreciate you, homie. 100%. So it, yeah, to reflect on what you said about it affecting other people. Like, again, I think it's a beautiful example which you just laid out, because the same way that it was for me, it's like, yes, you may have fucked up, you may be fucking up watching this right now, right? You may have a drinking problem, a weed problem, fucking porn addiction, whatever it is, you have a problem and you think it's not affecting anybody else. But the moment that you think you or the moment you understand that it is affecting other people, and you start to change, or at least the inclination to want to change happens, that's a great sign. So I don't want you to beat yourself up with shame, because you have been struggling, which again, admit that to yourself. Don't be delusional. You are struggling with something if you are. But just the fact that knowing it affects other people makes you want to do better is a good sign. So if you have that, pat yourself on the back and it's time to keep walking in the right direction. Now, getting back to it, sort of reeling it back in on a selfish level and extra vulnerable. This one I haven't really talked about. I talked about it once, just because of I guess my ego, who I thought I was. But if you have been following my page, which shameless plug is Matt Butale, if you want to follow me on Instagram. And I didn't really talk about this, maybe or not you know about this, but right before I got my pro card, I got arrested, dude. I got arrested. So what happened was, I'm not gonna get too nitty gritty, but the complete opposite. So the best possible outcome happened for me in terms of going from the divorced kid who was starting fights, doing drugs, and then, at this time I was 23, but even growing throughout my 21, 22, I think I met you guys around then. 21 is when I started talking to Brian, got involved in online coaching, made more money than I ever knew what to do with, and hadn't really fixed the things under. And so I was going out clubbing, man. I was, as much as I thought I changed, I was, when I had the access and the freedom, I let myself loose. Again, young 20-year-old guy, I'm not gonna excuse myself, but that's just the truth. And I was in the habit of going to the clubs, drinking and driving, drinking and driving, drinking and driving, until I think 6 or 8 weeks out, I got into a car accident and I rear-ended somebody. And of course, I was drunk. I was coming from one club, literally driving to another, and got arrested that night. I remember sitting in the back. I mean, the only funny thing about it was that, I was like, oh fuck, like what am I gonna do? I'm arrested. I can never get a job. And I'm like, wait a minute, like I'm my own boss. I laughed at myself for a little bit, and then I'm like, okay, no, that's fucked. Because how can I be this person? How can I be who I am and also do what I'm doing? You know what I mean? It contradicts the fuck out of it. And that's why I
Gotta
didn't
be
want
a
to talk
leader with
about it.
integrity.
With integrity. Boom. I love the way you said that, because that's exactly what it was. The relief of knowing, me personally, I'm cool, but also knowing that, like, I'm in a sense being disingenuous to other people. Again, sort of tying back to knowing you have problems, and like when it affects others, like truly affects others, you want to flip the switch. It happened to me again, and I remember feeling so defeated. Lawyer fees out the ass. How to get a new car? How to do that? I was actually supposed to be coming to the. It was the September. It was like the very first mentorship at
Oh, the
Brian's.
retreats.
Yes, right. So that one, and I was supposed to. I already bought my ticket and all that, but I couldn't go because of all this lawyer stuff. And I just remember feeling so depressed. And I'm like, you know what? I don't even want to do nationals in 2 months. I don't even want to do this. I don't want to do that. Because my back was literally against the wall, and everything that I thought I had literally vanished in front of me. But I kind of just thugged it out, went through, and then ended up turning pro at the end anyway, right? But I'm saying that to say this, guys. Like, just because you get over that first huge trauma, the second huge trauma, third huge trauma, doesn't mean that, and knock on wood, doesn't mean that your parents are gonna live forever, or that you'll be in this marriage forever. Like, shit's going to fucking happen. And if you do not fix the foundation under that, believe me when I tell you, you will face that motherfucker in the mirror again, and it's gonna be uglier every single time, right? And like, it sucks, and I was embarrassed, and I'm probably gonna talk about this week or next week. I was embarrassed to share this, but who the fuck would I be if I wasn't human? Like, I'm not, like, I would hate for you to think, and I'm sure Tyler would too, hate for you to think that looking at us, listening to us, or getting knowledge from us means accepting that we are perfect people, which it just is not true. And I still make mistakes up to this day. I'm sure, everybody here does as well. But the only difference is that we have the ability to reflect, but more importantly, take action on those reflections and continue to grow, right? And same thing goes for my clients. Like, they're not always perfect, man. They miss a check-in here and there. They fuck up on their diet every now and again. But them being aware enough to not only know that they're making a mistake, but do the actions required to negate those mistakes, are the that's the difference between the client that, gets those amazing results, and those clients that, sort of beat around the bush, get results, but know they could have got more. And like, you're robbing yourself
Exactly.
blind if you are doing that.
Dude, 100%. That is the biggest thing that, like, I think it's really important that I see a lot of times with people. Like, I always talk about, like, you know, pain pushes and vision pulls, right? A lot of times what happens to people is that we'll go through that big, like, you know, the breakthrough moment, the like, holy fuck, this big amount of trauma came in. What am I gonna do? My current self, my current ability, my current perspective on life cannot be able to process this. I need to become a different version in order to be able to like achieve, you know, to get past this. A lot of time, what happens though is, although we're focusing on becoming this new person, we're still stuck in the same old coping strategies and everything that we were previously, right? So we'll become a new person and we'll have these, you know, big goals in place, and we'll hire a mentor, we'll hire a coach, whatever it is. But although we're thinking about creating all this new shit, I always talk about gardening, and I'm no fucking gardener, guys. All right, I'm no expert at this.
Maybe
If
back in
somebody
the
call me
day.
out in the comments, you know, let me know if I'm like what we say earlier. I'm a warrior in the garden, okay? But
go.
the guys, like, you know, just from the basics, you know, I know that it's common sense that if we're it doesn't matter how amazing these, you know, you can go to the store and buy some new seeds, new flowers, whatever, right? You're trying to plant these new seeds, new plants into the garden here, but if there's still a bunch of weeds there, it doesn't matter what how much you spend, what kind of fucking boutique shop you go to get this shit. If you don't remove the weeds, the other seeds can't grow properly, right? They'll take up all the different nutrients, all the different water. They will suck up all that shit out of the new seeds there. So what I mean by this is, a lot of times what we do is we get into this point where, you know, we're ready to make a change, and we've, you know, we stepped on the scale, or we saw a picture of ourselves that someone else took, or, you know, we tried on that, you know, that pair of jeans, it just doesn't fucking fit anymore. Like, there is something that gets to that breaking point where, like, I cannot tolerate this anymore, right? We've all had those moments. And unfortunately, what happens here is, a lot of time, like, that's not enough, right? A lot of time we get like, okay, well, I'm excited, I'm, you know, I'm motivated now, I'm gonna make these changes. But that motivation dies down after a couple of weeks. We get back to the normal kind of thought process and everything. And then what happens from there? You know, maybe when you need to lose the weight and everything, you're excited, but okay, now you've lost 10 pounds. Now you've lost 20 pounds. You know, maybe your knee's not hurting as much now. Maybe you have a little bit more energy. Maybe you fit into that, you know, those pair of jeans that you really wanted to. You still have 50 more pounds to go, but you are in a better place than you were before, right? It's at that moment, and it sounds like that's where Matt, that's where I've been as well, is that, you know, we can start to make these changes, have that emotional like trigger that happens. But the big difference between somebody who's successful and somebody who isn't about who has and who doesn't have the triggers. It's about who finds, once you have the trigger, who finds the actual reason why it came in the first place, right? We look at the trigger and we start to think, okay, why did this happen? Why do I feel this way? At what point in my life does this create the issue here? Once we're able to actually start to heal from that stuff, that's when the real changes can occur here. Because it's like Matt said, it's like you can think that you're in a better place. And like when life is going good, you don't necessarily think about all the bad shit, right? There's, you know, you got a bright, you know, a bright future ahead of you. You're forgetting to look at the shadows that are still there, right? So as we start to go a little bit further forward, then we start to recognize that, oh shit, in order to progress, in order to reach these next levels, there is still these fucking shadows that we need to address.
Totally.
And that's the shit that most people don't want to do. It's
Totally.
nice, it's fun to look at the fucking future, it's fun to, you know, shine your flashlight and be like, oh my god, this is where I'm going. But it is terrifying to look back, look down, bring your flashlight in the darkest fucking biggest shadows of your life and be like, no, until I address this, until I address this shit with my parents, my exes, my fucking teacher, whatever the fuck it is, it's going to continue to come up in your life,
100%,
right?
Tyler, and well said. Like that right there, that flashlight for me moment was literally right after I turned pro. I'm like, yes, now what? You know what I mean? Like, I know I'm going to be going on the stage. I know I'm going to be continuously developing my physique, but like, also now what? Because all of my energy was pooled towards this, despite going through all that negativity with the DUI and so on and so forth. And then I had to look back and say, okay, yeah, I'm cool with what I achieved as a bodybuilder, but now I got to look at what I've achieved as Matt. And I'm not so proud about that, right? And so, like, how do I reflect and how do I accurately, like, what do I do to change, right?
Who is Matt outside of a bodybuilder?
Boom. And that question
Right?
fucked me. Absolutely fucked me when I was like sitting down. I was happy for a week. The week passed and I was devastated, man, because I thought about, I really wanted to go to the mentorship event. I really love my little car. I loved having a clean criminal record because, believe it or not, before that, I never got arrested. And it really weighed me down, right? And also, I mean, let's be honest here, as we talked about at the start of this episode, breakups make bodybuilders. And I just went through a breakup during my prep to turn pro anyway. So there's a lot of fucking turmoil here, right? And I'm like, I'm not happy, generally. Like inside, I'm grateful that I achieved what I really sought out to achieve. Like, I really put my blood on the line for it. But as a human being, there's a lot of chipping away I had to do at this stone if I wanted it to be that sculpture I wanted to look at and be proud of. And like inside, not just externally. And one thing I want to tie back that you just said about the genes, some of these people, some of the clients that we work with, and just generally, some of the people listening to this in the future might be wanting to fit into those genes. For me, way back, like when I first started training, it was t-shirts, right? I'm sure you know what it's like. Tucking your sleeves
Getting
in.
the sleeve in there, of course, man. We all do it,
Yeah.
right?
So that was it for that was the first thing. It was, self-confidence, and then I started to develop the habit of going to the gym, watching my muscles grow very slowly. And then once that wasn't a problem, the other problem was just like how I felt about myself. Because no matter how much I felt like I achieved at that point, it was just never enough. And like I know a lot of people that, as you said, like the knee's not hurting anymore. You have more energy. You can play with your kids more, but you kind of still feel empty. It's a sign to show you that this is really a journey. It's not just a program. It's not something that you just do forever. You are marrying the idea mentally of constantly improving, not just for this goal, but period. You are constantly improving. And the moment you stop, you don't even have to look around. You'll feel it in your heart. When you have that flashlight shadow in the darkness, that one moment, you're like, I'm not moving forward. Something's going on. And for me, that surfaced in so many ways, so many facets through, spending habits, through relationship habits, substance abuse habits, and stuff like that. And the one thing that sort of made me, that humbled me, that allowed myself to sort of move forward, if there was one thing, was sort of looking back and remembering, although I was in extreme pain, I still was able to do it. Like I was still able to, compete for the first time when I was scared. Let me just talk about this. I was scared shitless the first time, bro. I'm 19 years old, gonna go on stage with a bunch of grown men. My coach actually screwed me because I was supposed to be competing in the juniors, but he put me in the open. And so, like, I was nervous, man. Like, I made
Hey
weight.
guys, for everyone who doesn't understand, open means that you're a natural bodybuilder with guys who are on steroids and stuff, just so everyone understands. Like, as a 19-year-old, it's fucking terrifying.
Shit in my fucking jeans, man. And, like, so I went there and, I still won, fortunately. And what happened was, like, after that, I'm like, wait a minute. So, all that negativity, all that doubt that I had kind of negated because I know I trained really hard for this and I ended up winning anyway. So that was like the first moment where I'm like, yes, I can feel like absolute dog shit, but still prevail. And then 8 months later, did my first nationals at 20. I won that. And I'm like, oh wow, like I'm really, I can do this stuff. And it continued to compound over and over. But I would look at the catalysts, and the catalysts were always the same. The fire that lit my ass was always some sort of pain. For 19 years old at the first competition, was a breakup. At 20 years old, it was pretty much to prove myself and say, you know what, that one wasn't a fluke. This is who the fuck I am, and I'm gonna live this life. And then that happened, and I realized only at that point, bro, and you sort of alluded to this like 5 minutes ago, but only up until that point, I was operating off of what we call quote unquote fuck you energy, right? And my tank was empty by then because I literally proved all the haters wrong. I'm doing my thing here. I'm growing my life the way that I want to. Like, this is my dream, and I'm still fucking empty. Why? Then I just shift to like gratitude and like being grateful for what I've achieved, but also being grateful for the future pain that I have yet to anticipate. And I want to know, Tyler, what's your POV on like understanding that nothing is ever solved? There will always be a problem tomorrow. What's your opinion on how do you operate with that?
Dude, I first of all, I love that kind of perspective, and this is the biggest shift that I have with my clients is that, like, when somebody comes into our program, they'll usually be like, "Oh, I want to lose 30 pounds. I want to have more energy. I want to do this," right? And my kind of thought process with that is like similar to like what you're saying is like, dude, we can get the pro card. We can get the, you can make. You remember we started the program? It's like, oh, you gotta make 10K a month. You did that, okay? You did. You get the clients. You get the. This shit's growing. Your fucking Instagram grows. It's like you do the thing that you said you're gonna do, and you're still not feeling that level of satisfaction or happiness or whatever. And this is the same thing as the clients, you know, like I was saying, that they want to, they come into this weight loss kind of journey and they want to lose X amount of pounds, right? They go to the gym because I want to lose this much weight. I eat this certain way because I want to lose this amount of weight. You know, everything that they're doing is only to achieve X result. Once you achieve X result, then you go back to what you were doing originally. Because the big thing a lot of like times that people have to kind of realize is that we can make these sort of changes and we can focus on like these sort of like smaller kind of goals. But we eventually, I mean, as long as we're putting in the effort and like, you know, have the right guidance in place, we will achieve them, right? But the thing is here is that if we're only focusing on trying to, you know, view happiness as some kind of destination instead of the journey itself, when you get there, you're going to recognize you're always going to be chasing more and more. The big thing for me, the big shift that I've had, and like the thing that like I see my clients that really do see the crazy results and sustain them, you know, the people who message you like a year later and I'm like, yo, I'm still wearing a fucking bikini, like it's yeah. still popping off, like it's still good. Those are the clients that they stop thinking about like the number and they start thinking about the person they're becoming, right? Mm-hmm. It's not about how do I lose 50 pounds, it's what version of me is 50 pounds less. What version of me is that healthy version that just does these things, right? It becomes, you know, instead of focusing on I'm going to the gym to, you know, achieve X result, it's just like, this is just who I am. It's the same way as me brushing my teeth, the same way as me, you know, my meal prepping is the same as like I wouldn't leave the house without putting on clothes. You know what I mean? It's like some people get into this kind of shift of their identity where it's like, this is just who I am. So now I'm not coaching them on, oh, hey, accountability partner, hey, I just want to make sure you got your workout in today. No, if you're an Olympian athlete, right? If you're in fucking IFBB pro, like, you know, if you're somebody like that, do you think Matt's coach is reminding him, convincing him to go get his workout in?
Probably if anything, not. He's annoyed at me, man.
Yeah, because you're like, I feel like I should do more, right? That's because in his mind, that's just part of his lifestyle. That's who he's like, you know, ingrained in his mind that this is what I do, right? The same way you don't leave your house without brushing your teeth, putting on clothes. Some people just hit the gym, right? So then in that type of client, once you shift your perspective and view yourself in that way, then I'm not coaching you on accountability. I'm coaching you on, hey, here's how to become the better level. You're already doing this. Here's how to get better at it, right? You're already a great version of yourself. Here's how to become the best. So then we stop thinking about this is a temporary 6-month program, a year-long program. And we view it more as a training facility. Right? This is a temporary thing. I'm doing this for the next year so that I can become the person who sustains it, not the person who's lost the 50 pounds.
Love and that.
After that, it is what it is.
Totally, know? Totally. But right? And I want to add to that, Tyler, just a quick question here.
Yeah.
And so to become that person who is that version, it does also require more than just the habits of you know, that person, right? There's the habits and then there's like the intrinsic, like what sparks that fire? And I'm going to be honest here, being vulnerable, and I'm sure you've experienced this as well, is, you know, you got a great physique yourself and you have experienced a breakup. So there is a correlation, right? When is, especially, and let me just speak to those that are dealing with this, that want their revenge body, that want to look good for an ex and just to shit on them. When does that expire? And how do we get out of that fuck you energy into moving forward in a state of like sustainability? Like I've achieved the 50 pounds off. Sure, they feel like shit because I look like hot shit now, but like, okay, now what? You know, it's like when I got the pro card, okay, now what? It's like the fuck you energy is gone. You've proved all the haters wrong. Bravo. You know, you deserve that. But what is it about yourself that's going to keep yourself going if it's not the hate of others? I want to hear your POV, bro.
Pain pushes, revision pulls, man. Right? So the pain, we all operate off of fuck you energy. My business started off of fuck you energy.
Same.
Right? My parents, my friends, my coworkers, my old boss, everybody telling me that my business went awry was the motivation that I would do 3-hour nights so that I could work fucking, 18-hour days just to show you guys that I'm gonna fucking, like, this is what I do, right? Like, I will make sure. I honestly, if I didn't have people doubting me, my business, honestly, I don't think it would be where it is today. Okay. With that being said, though, I mean, that was a few years ago now. That energy, that fuel tank ran out a couple of years ago. And you get to the point where, you know, what pushes you at this point, right? You have to get, I know for myself personally, and like I noticed it a lot of my clients, is that it's how does a Gandhi says, when you've lost yourself, you find yourself in the service of others, right? And what this means is that, you know, sometimes we get into this kind of, you know, we get into this part of our life where we're either focusing too much on other people, prioritizing too much, you know, helping our kids or our spouse, whatever, and then we're not giving ourselves enough love. Right. But then sometimes when we get to the point where we need to make a change, well, that comes off the fuck you energy. That comes off the kind of selfish kind of energy at a point. Right. And then you only get so far with that until you recognize that, like, look, you can, like, okay, you can make $1 million, but what would make you make 10 million? What would make you make 100 million? Right. Is it, you can make $1 million off the fuck you energy, but if you want to make 100 million, well, like, are you going to keep doing that to prove everyone wrong? No. In order to keep progressing, you have to be able to come, like, I know for my business, and now it comes from a place of, like, impact. It's like, it's legacy, you know, the, if you want to say the selfish side of it, now it's strictly legacy, right? The selfish side for me is like, I want to, like, I guarantee, and if anybody can let me know in the comments, if anyone knows their great, great grandparents' names, put them in the comments, because I don't, you know, I don't know mine. And that's the thing is that, like, if your grandpa was out, like Albert Einstein, you'd probably remember. You know, you probably have a story, right? I don't want to be the person that, like, you know, after my grandchildren, I'm forgotten, right? So in order to make that happen, well, I need to make my business bigger. I need to impact more lives. I need to be able to create a worldwide impact. And that doesn't come from a place of being like, oh, I'm going to prove everyone wrong who said I wouldn't be successful. All those teachers who said I wouldn't make it. Look at me now. Like, it's a different fucking version at that point, right? Mm. And for the woman who's trying to lose weight, for the person who's trying to, like, you know, get, you know, build some muscle and, like, get in shape for summer, like, it's the same kind of mentality, is that you can lose the weight and you can get in shape, but in order to keep it off, you need to be, are you doing this to be a role model for your children? Are you doing this so you can make a more, like, a deeper impact to go further in your career? Are you doing this so you can, like, show your spouse that, like, hey, I do want to show in the effort and be, like, you know, be this higher level person you can commit your entire life to? Like, what is the deeper meaning for you? And once we start to recognize what that is, that's when the real change, or the sustained change, should occur.
Definitely. Right? I completely agree with you. The reason why I agree with you is because the moment my fuck you energy ran out, the number one thing that started to fill up my tank was when I noticed, and this was very subtly, it was like unintentional. I noticed that when I was doing my clients' check-ins and I would see them crush it and they're like, yo, like, I just lost this much weight, y'all, like, we're, you know, the ball's rolling, like, you know, and shit's working. The sensation that I felt inside, tying back to what you said about Gandhi, being of service, that yes. was started to, like, it filled my tank, you know, and then just showing up at random shows and just walking around talking to random people. They're like, hey, you know, I watched you compete back in the day, and, like, you know, it's so crazy to see how far you've gone, and just to talk to them, give them words of wisdom, or just anything that I can give to be of service filled my tank, because the, I guess, reciprocation of that, it became the new fuck you energy, I guess. I mean, not even a fuck you energy, more like a hell yeah type shit. You know what I mean? Like, this is why I was put on earth. I had to do all that shit. I had to feel all that negativity to be in a position where now I can absorb a positivity and make the best out of it. Use it as an energy source, but also recycle it. And, like, outside of just coaching, at least our coaching businesses, I look at it like community. Dude, we wouldn't even be sitting here if we weren't in that community. There's something in community that just, that powers up people, that charges people, whether it's negative or positive. Like, going back to our old days, you didn't see anybody that was wealthy, that was rich, that could make a living for themselves, that wasn't inside that drug community. So it was a negative community, but hey, it charged you up, you know? And the same thing with me. It was a negative community, but it charged me up, you know, made me do what I needed to do. And now that negative energy is spent, and the positive energy that I do absorb from, like, literally like-minded individuals like yourself, like, you know, Brian Cole, anybody else in this space, my clients, people that I'm helping, that make it very evident that my legacy is important now, and it will be because of the help that I'm offering and the benefits that they're receiving, makes it so much more worth it. Like, I almost got scared. I'm like, dude, I like doing these guys' check-ins more than I like, or just as much as I like competing now. It's like, it's very weird. It's the same trade-off now, you know? And I noticed that, you know, the power of the community and the power of service is something just out of this world. Like, you can't understand it unless you are experiencing it. I'll say that, because it does sound cheesy. I'm going to admit it. Sounds cheesy, but it's fucking real.
It's cheesy as fuck, it's real, but it is. Dog. It's real life, it's real, man. It is what it is, bro. Like, it's crazy to me. I completely agree with you, man. Like, the thought that, you know, somebody, like, I always, like, you know, obviously, like, energy cannot be created. It can only be transferred, right? Mm. Like, the thought that we can have somebody just like speak on a podcast like this and be able to take in the energy off of a fucking like your little AirPods you're listening to and be able to use that and go and help other people is absolutely insane, right? Like we have to really recognize when we come from this place that like, you know, it's the days that you don't want to do it, if you're only doing it for yourself, it's easy to be like, oh, fuck it. Like, I can skip the gym or, you know, in our case, oh, we can, you know, not post today, something like that, right? But, you know, when we're looking at, okay, this is, you know, like Matt said, is like he's viewing it now as like, no, this is – I'm recognizing this is what I'm on this universe for. Like, this is what I'm put on this. Like, this is my fucking purpose. Then on the days that you feel like absolute shit, where you don't want to do anything, where you're depressed, where you're going through a breakup, like whatever the fuck it is, it's bigger than you. Mm-hmm. This shit isn't just about if you're only doing it to for self-fulfillment, for your ego or for money or whatever, then you can take those days off and it is what it is. But when you know that like this one message, this one fucking live stream you're doing could impact somebody and completely change their life, you're gonna think twice about like, you know, stepping outside of it. And then, you know, going for like the parents or like, you know, the person that's going on a fitness journey themselves right now, you need to be like really, really conscious of those people that are around you. You know, like you may think that like you're only letting yourself down if you don't commit, but you're forgetting about how those people who look up to you, whether it's your spouse or your children, your coworkers, people are watching you and they're starting to see your progress. They're starting to see how much you've changed and the happiness that you're having, your ambition. So when you fall off, it just sets the example and sets the tone for them that, hey, there's no point in doing this because it's not going to work. Just like Matt said, that's all what fucking community is when we don't feel like there's been a lot of times that I don't feel that I'm worthy or able to do this shit. But then I'll see somebody like Matt killing it and I'm like, all right. I get it together. I'll fucking get it. You know, I'll figure it out. Right. So,
yeah, man, totally. Energy is being transferred in those types of moments. And guys, this is one thing that I think it is a Jordan Peterson quote as well. I might butcher it just like you did. If y'all know what it is, drop it in the comments because I might butcher it. All right. So it was what was it? It was Jordan Peterson. He said, I'm drawing a blank right now, but it was essentially he mentioned like the ability. Okay. I remember what it is now. So, and be careful of this, guys, because this might be your problem. If you have ambition and you are lazy, you are the most dangerous person that you could possibly be. And the reason being is because you have so much contempt for life. Like, you really don't like your life and you may feel like you're depressed. You may feel like you're anxious, which I'm not going to discredit. If that's how you feel, that's you, right? But the thing is, you actually have more power than you even could dream of, because the only thing that makes you feel depressed is the fact that you know what you need to be doing, but you're not doing it, right? And what is keeping you in that position? It's laziness. Sure. Is it really laziness? Because if we break down the laziness, it's a combination of either negative thoughts, negative experiences, a true, genuine self-belief that you are literally worth dog shit. Like, and I've struggled with that for a moment, you know, where you think like, what the fuck? Like, I'm a loose screw. Like, I almost did this. I did that. And how could I, right? You know, how could I get this pro card? How could I, you know, make $10,000 a month? How could I be a person people fucking respect? You know, I'm a high school dropout. I'm this, I'm that. And those negative thoughts contributed to my laziness, because why do it? Right. Like, why give a fuck? It's not going to work. But I had so much ambition. I knew that I can take step 1, 2, and 3, be in a position with other people that have what I want, you know, with coaches, absorb their information, go to the gym, get this pro card, get these coaches' information, start this business. I could do all these things. I know every single step that I need to do, but I am not doing it because I'm lazy, and that drives me fucking insane. That right there, guys, is probably what I think 99% of the world is struggling with right now. You know what you need to be doing, and you're just not doing it. And the reason why you're just not is because you haven't sort of unfolded all that extra shit, all those layers of crap. And it's, believe me, way easier said than done. I'm speaking from experience, and I'm sure Tyler, you know what I mean, can speak with experience, right? Yeah. But when you really look down the rabbit hole, that's the only thing, right? Be grateful you at least have the ambition, because that's the other half. Now, get to working on the first half, right? That's all I got to say on that.
No, 100%, man. That's the thing is, like, it's, I always tell people, like, if you're only half-assing something, if you're doing, like, 30%, 50%, then it's easy to, like, not be hard on yourself, because you already know you're, like, not expecting anything. It's the people who are going the 70, 80% that are the most depressed because in their mind, they think that they're working hard enough to see the results, but then they're not getting the result that they think they should be getting. When realistically, for so many people I talk to, there's like a fucking dude, like a 5% difference. You work 5%, 3% harder and you make like, and then everything will fucking change for you, man. Right? It's the people, man, who are like, you're killing it Monday to Friday, but you eat like shit on the weekend. So it's like, if you would just fucking change your weekend, your everything would fucking fly off. You're already killing your workouts, your nutrition's on point.
Beautifully
like,
said.
It's like, the little tiny changes,
it's
right?
It's that so, fucking millimeter, dude. And then you realize, what was I bugging about? Go on.
It is, man. And then that's the thing is that like sometimes, like you said, like we need that community, we need that like inspiration to see what's possible, because otherwise if you're only around people that are viewing the same thing, we can all be looking at this tiny little box that we're in the group of fucking 5-6 friends that you have and think that this is the small little box we have, and all it takes is some other person, some other community, some other coach to look and be like, dude, there's a ladder right there. Go on the ladder. You're too busy looking this way, right?
Oh, so, man. Yeah, it is that simple, but it's also that difficult.
It really is, man. You know, so, Matt, honestly, man, I think people have got a lot of fucking value from today. And, dude, I appreciate you, you know, like coming on, being vulnerable, sharing a lot of different stories. It sounds like you haven't even, like, shared too much on your social media yet. So I appreciate it, dude. Bro, first of all, you know, obviously everything we're talking about, you know, getting the inspiration, finding a different community and stuff is literally the biggest pivotal points for like me and your careers and like life overall. So with that being said, like where can everybody find you, man, so we can continue to get some more value from your pages?
Totally. So y'all can find me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. I'm literally everywhere. You can simply Google MATTBUTALE. You'll find me everywhere. Also, I'm also a host of a podcast, Meathead on the Mic podcast. We're on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, so definitely tune in. And Tyler, I'd like to say to you, thank you for being, and you may not even know this, but being a really pivotal part of my Zero to Hero journey, because just sharing that experience with you, you have no idea how many other people that it touched. And the only reason I was able to do that was because I believe I saw one of your posts way back in the day, like a year or two ago. So kudos to you, man. You know, don't forget to give yourself credit on that one there, because you're also the you know, the reason why stars being made, you know what I'm saying? So I appreciate you. Dude, I appreciate your community, dog.
Hell yeah, man. No, thank you so much for that, dude. Like I said, you have some seriously powerful posts on there. So everybody go check out his Instagram, go check out Facebook, Twitter, all that shit. And thank you so much for tuning in, guys. If you're watching the replay, make sure you put #replay and make sure you tune in for the next episode of the Intentional Existence Podcast. That's it. That's all. Have the best day of your entire motherfucking life. I'll talk to you guys soon. Take care, ladies.
Thank you so much for your precious time and attention. This is the number one podcast for anyone on this planet, country, or nation who wants to get in the best physical shape for their next vacation. Don't forget to implement at least one thing from this podcast. Remember, information without implementation is just fucking noise. I provide actionable value for a reason. Take full advantage of it. If you laughed, cried, got any value, motivation, or inspiration from this podcast, share it out to one friend who you know will enjoy it too. Shameless plug, subscribe to my YouTube channel, Matt Butale, if you want to know this meathead on a more personal level. Heads up, it's not safe for work and it can get explicit. Viewer's discretion is advised, but I promise you will still laugh, learn, and get value. Also, if you want to lose 25 pounds and become a part of the Natural Nomad Academy and join the meathead community, feel free to DM me and I'll see if you'll be a good fit. Let's embrace your inner meathead. All right, it's been nice chatting. Hope you like what today's topic was about. Natural Nomad Academy head coach and natural IFBB pro Matt Butale, signing out.